Okay, you can take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. You know, a lot of what we think about and talk about is based on, you know, what we learned in Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, right? Rightly dividing the word. And rightly dividing the word is a very important thing, because if you don't rightly divide the word, then you don't really have the word, right? And it's a very important thing. But just as important is that we apply the word correctly. And so in chapter 4 of Ephesians, did I say chapter 4? Well, you can go there. We're going to look at conversation. Now, in our society, we think of conversation as talking with one another. But in the Bible, it's used in a different way. It has to do with behavior or conduct or lifestyle or manner of life. And it's a very important topic in the Word of God, how we live. I'm sure you've run into people that act very religious one day a week, and then the rest of the week they forget about it, right? And, you know, that's just the way of the world, and that's the way of a lot of religions. I remember one time riding in a school bus on a trip with one of my boys, and there was this Hindu lady. And I said, do you not eat meat? And she says, oh, well, we eat meat here. I said, why? She said, well, because the cows here are raised to be eaten. And I didn't really get that, you know, because if what they say that, you know, animals are, you know, a reincarnation of people, then it wouldn't matter, you know, where you were. It would just be the same thing anyway. So, you know, it's kind of like situational morals and ethics and stuff like that. So we don't want to be like that. We want to learn the word, and then we want to live the word, and we want to live it properly or rightly divide it correctly. So in chapter 4, verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So here it's talking about the former conversation. Former conversation was before you were born again, before you understood about God. Before you learned the word or knew about God and knew what he says. So it's the former conversation. What does it say? It says to put off or strip off or get rid of the old ways, the old habits, the routines, and so on and so forth, the thoughts, actions of your previous life. Okay? Put off that conversation, that lifestyle, that manner of life. And, you know, sometimes some of that is not easy because we are creatures of habit, right? We have habit patterns of thinking. We have habit patterns of behavior. I'm sure if any of you tried to break a habit, you know what it's like, right? It's not easy. Then in verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's a big key to it, right, is being renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you change your mind and start to think according to what God's word says we are to think. Then it goes on. And that you put on the new man, okay, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're to put on the new man, which means we're to do what? Put on a new conversation, a new way of life, a new lifestyle, a new manner of living. In the Working Translation by Walter Cummins, it says, which was created in accordance with God in justness and devotion to truth. And then the following verses give us some examples, which we don't want to really go into all of them, but it, you know, talks about don't steal anymore, work, don't speak evil communications, but minister grace. And then it says, don't make the Holy Spirit sad. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to chapter 2. So our conversation is a big deal to God. He wants us to live according to his word. Like it said in that translation, created in accordance with God in justness and devotion to truth. What a great thing to think about, that your life is devoted to truth. And justness means righteousness, right? Chapter 2, verse 2, it says, it's talking about the past. Well, we could read verse 1. And you, and hath he quickened is in italics, which means it wasn't in the original text. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past. Time past is before you were born again, before you were a Christian, before you learned about God. You walked according to the course of this world. Okay, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our, what? Conversation, manner of life, lifestyle, the way we lived. In times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Well, this really gives you a key here, because when we get born again, what do we get?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, right. So we are now not just body and soul, but we're body, soul, and spirit. We're to be spiritual beings, right? And the way we live a spiritual life and walk with God is we do two things. We walk according to the word, and we listen when he instructs us directly. By revelation or whatever. So it says, we had our conversation, our manner of life in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, which means what? Sense knowledge, right? Sense knowledge. It was all based on our sense knowledge. What you feel, what you want, what you desire, all those kind of things, you know. That's all it's based on, really. In the world, you know, they talk sometimes about morals and ethics. But unfortunately, if they don't have a standard for truth, those morals and ethics change with whatever is popular at the time, which is obviously true. You know, some things that were absolutely unaccepted 50 years ago or 100 years ago today are accepted as okay, normal. And it's really can be kind of crazy. But this is nothing new. All you have to do is read a little history. The Greeks and Romans or the Persians, and they were all nuts. They all did the same thing. Without God's word, it's just the way it is. So it's according to the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that mind means, you know, the mind that's based on sense knowledge, not on the word of God, not a person with a spirit. And we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What a great thing. Aren't we thankful? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's by grace, right? It's we believe in Jesus Christ and we're saved. It's not by being good. It's not by doing charitable works. It's not by works, it's by grace. If it was by works, it couldn't be by grace. If it's by grace, it can't be by works. They're mutually exclusive. You know what that means, right? It's either one or the other. It's either grace or it's works. So it's grace, simple. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the good works are not to get there. The good results are a result of being there. Does that make sense? You know, the good works that we do are a result of God's love and a result of us being born again, a result of us having spirit. And that should be the basis of our lifestyle, that we are created unto good works. It said up above, we were created unto righteousness and devotion to truth. So those things put together. We are created unto devotion and truth, and we are created unto good works. What a great thing to know. What a great thing to have. So our conversation, again, you know, is connected to, you know, in the past, lust and the flesh. And lust means a desire attached to anything, an inward passion or intense desire for things coming from man's depraved nature. Sounds great, doesn't it? Okay. Two types of lifestyle. So that's what we've seen, right? We're to walk in them, the good works. But there are two types of lifestyle. The old man based on lust and desires, and the new man created unto good works, righteousness and devotion to truth. Pretty simple and pretty diametrically opposed. You know what that means, right? They're opposites. They're opposites. One's based on the truth of God's word, and one's based on feelings and desires. How many times have your desires or feelings tricked you? You know, how many times have they led you down the road of disaster? I know they've done that to me, and I'm not the only one, because we're all the same in that respect. We all have that happen. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy, you know, and he's raising him up to be a minister and to be a leader in the church, in the body of Christ. In verse 12, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth." Of course, Timothy was a younger guy. So he said, don't let anybody despise your youth or be disparaging of your youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be an example, a model, a role model, a type of the brethren or of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, is not in the text, in faith or believing, and in purity. Well, that's a bunch of things. But what is conversation? Manner of life. Manner of life. Your lifestyle, how you live. What is your lifestyle like? You know, how do you live your life? Is it an example to other believers? You know, and just because he's writing it here to Timothy doesn't mean that we shouldn't all aspire to be an example in our lives. You know, everywhere we go and whatever we do, if we're going to speak the word, if we're going to be proclaim ourselves as Christians, that means that we are examples, right? We are witnesses. We set ourselves up to be looked at and examined. You know, your life becomes a fishbowl. So let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, and in purity. Well, if he's to be an example, then that's the example we are to follow, right? Mm-hmm. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. you know, reading the word. The word up above is the faithful word. Charity, of course, is the love of God, and faith is believing faith, and impurity, uncontaminated, an uncontaminated example. attendance to reading, exhortation would be encouragement, and doctrine to teaching or instruction. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What a great, you know, what a great thing to tell somebody to do. And why not to us also? You know, we are to be examples. We are to encourage people. We are to teach people the word. We are to live that life that's an example. We don't want to, we are called to be holy, right? We're going to read that in a minute. We are sanctified. That means we're not supposed to be common. We're supposed to set ourselves above the world. We live in the world, but we should live above the world. Let's go to James chapter 3. Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, well, it's Philemon's in there. Hebrews, James, chapter 3. It says, who is a wise man? Verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Endued means clothed, right? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Yeah. A wise man will have good works, and they'll be, you know, according to God's word. Let's look at 1 Peter. A couple of pages over, or a page over. And we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 13. We heard this in Manifestations, I believe. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And God said something about girding us up, right? It means to, in the Old Testament or in the Bible times, when they would work, they would tie their girdle around them to support their midsection. It was girding their loins. So here when it says gird, it means strengthen. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. You know, be strong in your mind. Be sober. Means whole thoughts, whole mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Here again we have lusts, right? And their former lusts before you were born again, before you had spirit. The former lusts. But verse 15, as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be holy in all manner of conversation. What is all manner? It means in everything. In everything, you know, it's not just, you know, just one day a week. It's not just at ceremonies or rituals. It's not just when you're with other believers. It's always all manner of conversation. Your whole life is to be touched by God in everything that you do. Where you work, how you treat your friends, how you treat your relatives, which is not always easy. All manner of conversation. Your whole lifestyle is to be holy and godly. How great is that? So he says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. And that doesn't mean be afraid. It means what? Respect, awe. Pass your time in this life in respect for God. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers. And here he's talking to people that had come out of the Jewish religion or the Judaism, the Old Testament. And he said, your vain conversation. Why? Well, because it was without purpose. It was empty because they were doing things that didn't get them to where they needed to be. You know, they would do all the law and all that stuff. And if you go through and read the epistles and if you read other things, they didn't do it with the right heart or for the right reason. And they did it just to look good. And so it was worthless. And it was just looking good, but not really doing anything. And God, you know, told them many times, I just want you to love me. I just want you to walk justly and humbly before me. Do my word. And this, I am holy, therefore be ye holy, is from the Old Testament. It's a quotation. So he says, for as much as you were not redeemed with corruptible things, the silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers. And you see, he says tradition. He doesn't say from the word, does he? Because tradition took over. You know, the traditions took over the word and they blurred the word. And then the traditions became more important than the word of God. You know, it's we see it all the time in the world. Traditions become more important than what really is supposed to be important. But, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world or the overthrow of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God. You know, by him we believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith or believing and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls. Your souls being what? Your breath life, right? You've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Yeah. See, our conversation is supposed to be all manner of life. It's supposed to touch every aspect of our life and everything we do, how we conduct our life, you know, from the smallest things to the biggest things. It's all about walking and living as God would have us to live, spiritually, not physically, not in the lust of our flesh. Now, you know, we all have desires at times and we all have things, but it's always got to be in proper perspective, right? It's got to be, you know, God doesn't, he doesn't, you know, not want you to have a nice car or a nice house or wear decent clothes. But it shouldn't be the focus of your life, should it? It's just supposed to be the blessings of life. And then anything that we do have is to be used to the glory of God. Pretty simple. You know, if you were going to just have a simple rule to live by, what did Jesus Christ say? The first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, that's a pretty simple rule to live by. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. chapter 4, verse 1. It says, okay, now there's another word. So we saw the word conversation, which means manner of life or lifestyle. There's another word that also has to do with our conduct, and it's the word walk. And the word walk literally is the word walk. But it's used figuratively in how we are conducting our lives or doing things. You know, we use it in our everyday life. You know, we talk about somebody's walk. You know, what do we mean? Well, not how he wobbles or walks straight. We're talking about how he lives life, right? In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. So obviously that's not a physical walk, is it? If it is, some of us would be in big trouble. I couldn't walk a straight line if I wanted to. Just cause, you know. If I ever got stopped by a cop driving and he said, walk a straight line, I'd say, I can't. I can't. It'd be almost impossible. It's figurative here. It's, what does it mean? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Well, the vocation we are called to is what? It is to be holy. It is to be his holy children, his sons and daughters. And we're to walk worthy of that. You know, sometimes rich people or royalty, I always hear about the royals in England because, you know, they're so wacky. But, you know, they make such a big deal about, you know, they have to live their life a certain way, right? Or the upper class, you know, and, you know, it's all about not embarrassing the family or whatever. And they'll go to great lengths to hide any kind of disaster or scandal. Well, we're to walk worthy of God as being his children, being holy. That's a bigger deal than anything in the world. And it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, and it tells us a little bit about how we are to walk worthy, with humility and lowliness, you know, and we're patient with each other, and we love one another, and we're forgiving one another, and all the other stuff. And let's go to Colossians chapter 1. So we're to walk worthy. That's our lifestyle, is to walk worthy of God, to be holy as he is holy. In verse 9 of chapter 1 of Colossians says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's a pretty important thing. God's desire for us is that we might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Well, where do we get his will? From his word, right? Now, we get his will from his word, and then if we need more specific information, then it's God's responsibility to give us more specific information, right? with all knowledge and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Wisdom is how to apply that knowledge, and the understanding is spiritual understanding. It's not mental or physical understanding. It's spiritual understanding. It's, you know, we see the truth of it from God's point of view. That ye might, what? Walk worthy. So that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, which we are created unto, right? And increasing in the knowledge of God. And as we do that, we continue to increase in our knowledge of God. What a great thing. God desires for us to walk worthy. And he tells us how, you know, and we can be filled with that knowledge, with that wisdom, and with that spiritual understanding so that we can please him in all we do. What a great way to live life. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. We thank you that you don't just tell us to do stuff, but you tell us how. You show us how. You give us examples. And we thank you, Father, that we can do our best for you and that you're not standing there and every time we make a little mistake, you hit us over the head, but you just love us, forgive us, and continue to encourage us. That you are just such a great, loving, and tender Father to each and every one of us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and how he was the great example, and how because of him we have your Spirit within us so that we can walk with you and talk with you. And we thank you for just doing your best for us every day and that we can do our best for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.